Hey, welcome to My Millennial Answers, MMA, not mixed martial arts, John.
No,
we're not doing that.
Questions and answers.
We're doing this every Thursday that we can get around to it. We're doing it live from Flower & Co. at Toowoon Bay, our local watering hole for coffee.
It is.
And we don't know how long these episodes will go for. We're just going to read questions. It is still September if you're listening as soon as this launches. So remember, subscription September. Check out your bank statement from last month. Look at all your recurring stuff. If you've got a subscription or a gym membership fee and you're not using it, cancel it. And let us know in the Facebook group or on Instagram. You can get the templates from the Facebook group. Claire, what to do when start making real money? What to do, who to see to get yourself sorted, i.e. when graduating from a degree?
Yeah, what does she mean by what to do when you start making real money?
I guess she's looking for a bit of a strategy, which that probably answers the question. Like, Claire, I need you to have a goal. Like, what do you want your life to look like over the next 5 years, 2 years, 1 year, and go get it?
Yeah, I think looking internally first, isn't it? So what do you want? When do you want it? Is it shares that float your boat? Is it property? Is it what do you want to get out of your lifestyle? What do you see the next 5 years looking like? And then branching out and maybe talking to someone about how to best go about that.
I would also say you've just got this crack in your income. Mm. Make sure you've got your spending plan and systems in place.
Yep.
And not building any bad habits from day one.
Yeah.
So we're keeping out of consumer debt, credit cards, personal loans,
yep,
all that type of stuff from day one. And get together a little goal. The first goal might be you want to save 3 months worth of expenses for your emergency fund. Done. The next thing is I want to actually go on a decent trip now that I've got money. Okay, we'll save some and then take off December. Done.
Yeah, maybe putting a ceiling on that, because I don't know about you, but when I first started earning real money, as she calls it, a fair bit of it got blown without any rhyme or reason.
Yeah. So that's probably just to watch out for. Make sure you're in the My Millennial Money group.
Yeah.
Read a lot of stuff in there. But the good thing is enjoy the first year out of uni, graduating and get settled in your career and your role. There's no right or wrong answer. If it is a house that you want to aim for, well, let's do that. Who to see? Look, to be honest, you might see a financial advisor just to bounce some ideas off. You might have a clarity call with John to bounce some ideas off. So I just keep encouraged, keep dreaming, and it might just be listening to podcasts like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever it is, it's got to be for what you want, not the next person.
Yeah, absolutely. So go get it, Claire. Donna asks, should my fiance buy our first home, in brackets, not our forever home, under his name only, so that the next house we buy / build can go under my name and we can get the first home buyer / builder benefits twice.
Mm.
So how does that work, John?
Well, as we see it today, if one of you is buying or using the first homeowner's grant, that basically means that you can't access it yourself if you're living with that person. If you're married to them, doesn't matter. If you're not living with them, still doesn't qualify. So essentially what she was be doing would be illegal.
Yeah. So for example, if some weird scenario, she's still living at her parents' house.
Yep.
And he's a FIFO minor or something.
Yeah.
And he buys the house in his name, then they move in together. Can they then buy the second property, or is the fact that she's moved in with him or her?
Yeah, fact that they are engaged will pose an issue.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the short answer is, realistically, you can only get that once.
Yeah. I love the idea and the thought process around it, but it's obviously, number one, it's got to be legal. But also number two, I think, and I have this discussion with a lot of people about, well, should I get the first homeowner's grant for the sake of it, or do I go and buy elsewhere because it's in a better growth region, for example?
Yeah.
So you need to thrash that out in more detail as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Dana asks, is it necessary for a couple with no children to both have income protection if they are office workers and can work for and can work from home if needed? That's a good question.
Yeah, that's your alley, not mine.
Yeah. I go back to, and I kind of made this saying up, if you have an income, you need to protect it.
Mm.
If you do not need it, you do not need to protect it. If you do not need to protect it, why are you working for it?
Yeah.
So, realistically, what income protection does, it covers 75% of your salary if you're unable to work due to accident or illness.
Yep.
What if you had an illness and you couldn't work at all from home?
Mm.
So, I think, and it goes back to, we need to just factor the cost of the protection into our budget while we're young. And absolutely, kids or no kids, you need to protect your income, because that's your biggest asset, is your income.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure if you could not work ever again, your income keeps walking in until you're 65 or 70 years old.
Yeah. So would it be fair to say that in Dana's case, the fact that she's got no children, I'm presuming no other assets other than her family home, that the income protection might not need to be as high?
No, I would still protect 75% of your income, the maximum amount.
Uh-huh.
Because what can happen is, if you get insured and then 3 years later, you have a health issue, you might not be insurable anymore.
Right.
So what it does is, you're just locking in the highest amount. So if your situation does change, you've already got the cover.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, so, that's good.
Yeah. And it's tax deductible. And
I
jokingly say to people, if you don't want to insure your income and you're able to, like not medically declined or whatnot, you need to uninsure your car because you're carrying, if your car's worth 20 grand, you might be paying a grand a year for insurance.
Yeah.
Why don't you take on that risk of 20 grand?
Yeah, that's right.
So I think it's a logic thing. So you need to insure your income. So if you can't generate that income, you're not taking on that risk of having to cough up 60 to 80 to 100 grand a year.
Yeah, 100%. So, that makes perfect sense. Now, just quickly on that, is payable in super or out of super?
Yeah, you can actually fund it through super or outside. So I usually say it's tax deductible in or out of super. You can fund it through your super. The policies aren't as strong, but a good retail insurance policy will allow you to fund a portion in super and a portion outside.
Yep.
And if you want to have a listen to episode 141, back from last year, we did a deep dive on all things insurance.
It's a good memory.
Yeah. Well, it just comes up so much. And we're going to do a new updated one. So
cool.
But yeah, so basically you would only be putting it in super if your cash flow is an issue and you maybe want to clean up some debts or had some other goals that were more urgent. So my income protection's outside of super. I pay for it fully and claim it on tax.
Yep.
So do I. And chat with your advisor about that. And if you need an advisor, go to sortyourmoneyout.com and click get help and I'll introduce you to somebody.
Cool.
Leanne asks, to round off the four women today, getting your partner to be more on board with being more financial independent for the future, currently does not grasp the concept of having financial independence.
Don't go there, Glenn and John.
So this comes up so much.
Yeah.
Getting the other side on board.
Yeah. And it's like trying to get a dog to sit when it doesn't want to sit.
So do you get rid of the dog?
No. So do we get rid of the dog? Well, no, but we can't force its butt to sit on the ground either. I think it's, I've always been told if you take action, people will follow and see that action. You don't want to try and change people's minds.
I don't like these questions because it borderline stems into relationship advice.
Yeah.
And I'm just not qualified in that area because I'm just not qualified in that area. It's just not my skill set. But I will say, and I always tell people, John, what's the advice that you would give to your best friend about that situation? Because often there's a book that I recently read by Jordan Peterson, mm-hmm. Who's a psychologist, and I think people either love him or hate him for whatever reason, but his book, The 12 Rules for Life, he spends a chapter talking about statistically in America, something weird like 50% of people who are given prescription medication do not fulfill the course. However, almost 100% fulfill the prescription when it's for their pet or their animals.
Right.
So you have to look after yourself like you would care for someone else.
Yeah.
So, Leanne, if your best friend asks you what should you do, you would have some good advice for her. And
apply it to yourself. Yeah.
So, but I think it's like, get on board, like, hey, baby, I want to do this. Or start to ask your partner what their dreams are. What are their aspirations to life?
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, what does your partner want, right? They might want financial independence. Just because you want it doesn't mean that they don't need to aspire to it either. And if you want it, go and get it. Do you actually need your partner on board in a lot of ways in order to get it? I think you've got to outline what you actually want to do.
Yeah, but would you... So, if Amy, turned around and said, no, I don't actually care about money or goals or anything like that anymore,
yeah,
that would make it really untenable, wouldn't it?
Well, the next question would be, well, are you happy for me to still go and invest our money?
Yeah.
Right, and if the answer's no, then we need to delve a bit deeper into that.
Could you not say, grow up, get a grip?
Well, I don't know. You've got to...
And this is hard, because we're going to do mindset on the podcast. I mean, if the partner is happy to do a 9-to-5 job,
yeah,
and he's happy on the freaking rat wheel spinning around running all day, I mean, that's fine, but it's just going to be untenable, isn't it?
Well, I think asking, it's very hard here because you don't know their situation, but what is the alternative? All right. And if the alternative is work till you're 67 and your partner's happy with that at the moment, then what do you do?
I would also say if you've only been dating 6 months or a year, do you have the discussion? Like, are we doing this?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. Look, it's... One thing's for sure, you've got to both sit down sober and have a good, solid conversation about what you both want out of the next 20 years.
In terms of life.
Yeah.
So what are the big things? Career, money,
kids, lifestyle.
Lifestyle.
Yeah.
In-laws.
Yeah. Or outlaws.
Or outlaws.
Because the big conversation point is, do we want it now or do we want it later?
Yeah.
Or do we want a combination of that? Now, that's where I'd be going with that if I was Leanne.
Yeah, and the problem is, Leanne, your partner may have grown up in a horrendous environment and there was you just don't know what people's history is. So.
No.
But yeah, very good thing to chat about. And yeah. I know for other people listening, you're probably screaming into the microphone, do this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it goes back to what would you say to your best friend, Leanne?
Mm.
All right, thanks for the chat today, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.